Buying an industrial or commercial property is a different kettle of fish to purchasing a residential property. And if you're a business person looking to invest in these categories of property, it's best to heed the advice and guidance of property experts in the field. There are a number of factors that one needs to take into account before embarking on a serious journey like purchasing a property to realize one's business goals. Well, to give us some hints and guidance, with particular emphasis on the industrial property sector, I'm joined on the line by Tony Bales. He's CEO of Epping Property. Thanks very much, Tony, for joining us on the show. According to your research, the industrial property sector has outperformed the office, retail and leisure property sectors. Over what time period are we talking about? Has it been a wide margin, and what's been driving growth?
Firstly, yes, the industrial sector has outperformed the other sectors up until the last year. Many years ago, the retail sector actually outperformed the other sectors. And then in the last 3 years, the industrial sector has had a very good run. So, and the retail sector has calmed down a little bit, if I can call it that. And the office sector has really been a little bit of a laggard, but it's been ticking along.
Yes.
But certainly in the last 3 years, the industrial sector has been the best performer. Although I must state, in the last year, all the sectors have been taking a bit of strain. So none of the sectors are flying, but the industrial sector is showing sort of green shoots.
Yes.
And it's probably going to be the sector that will turn around first when the economy takes off again.
If an investor is looking to get into an industrial property, how does one go about it?
Well, I think the first thing is that one needs to decide where one wants to invest. Certainly, my personal suggestion would be to invest in the major industrial nodes in the major metropolitan areas. Those are your lowest risk areas. Those are your areas that the majority of businesses want to be in. And if ever a property goes vacant, one is most likely to be able to fill it again. So certainly in the major metropolitan areas, to focus on the better, more centrally located industrial areas of those nodes. That's really the starting point, I would say.
Yes, and I suppose it comes with all the goodies like decent road access, access to, it's centrally placed so that you can easily logistically get from one place to another.
Completely. I think by definition, the major industrial areas in the metropolitan areas will have your best locational characteristics. They will be located around decent highways. They will be located around availability of employees. They will have all the prerequisites that industrialists want. In certain areas, it might be power. In certain areas, it might have other attributes. So certainly, that's probably a good starting point for people to look at.
Yeah. So you note that over time, locations change, and you advocate that those with buildings in a changing location should also adapt. I mean, it does seem like obvious advice, but just give us practical examples of what you mean.
Well, for instance, I mean, if we reverse back, even look at Gauteng. Many years ago, Midrand was just farmland. And in fact, it was probably not even farmland. It was just out in the woods. And look at Midrand now. It's a major, major industrialized location.
Yes.
With excellent highways and things. So one can have a very good location, but another highway might be built bypassing that area, and it might have a major influence. So it's always good to double check where one's location is.
Yes.
I mean, another example in Gauteng is the influence of the Gautrain. I think it hasn't changed what I call macro location things, but it certainly changed micro location items. I mean, for instance, in Sandton, there are definitely areas that have become more prime due to the Gautrain.
Yes.
And it's facilitated a whole lot of new development there. For example, there are hotels going up around the Gautrain stations. There are new office developments that prefer to be close to the Gautrain, staff coming in and out of going to airports and things like that. So there are definitely changes over time. I mean, and another thing that I can add is many, many years ago, the industrial areas were focused around trains. Trains were the major carriers of goods in and out of industrial areas.
Hmm.
That is no longer the case today. Today, it's all about road systems and what can cope with what we call interlink trucks. Those are the very big, almost like double trucks that carry most of the industrialized goods these days.
Yes. So, Tony, you strongly advise that the investor must get their hands on a copy of the formal legal description of the property deed, and make sure that they know the municipal value of land and so on. Just tell us about the significance of being on top of this information.
I'd just like to reverse back. So if one can decide where one would like to invest, one must then go and look at as many properties as possible in that particular area, so that one has a lot of comparatives, if I can call it that.
Yes.
Then, and only then, when one zones in on a particular property or one or two of the so-called best options, one must obviously have a very close look at what I call the paperwork side of the transaction. Mm. For example, there might be certain servitudes over industrial properties. What might look like a huge big yard area might in fact have an electrical servitude under the ground. So it means that one cannot build there in future.
Mm.
So one does then, once one has found one's particular in one or two options of industrial properties, one then needs to roll up one's sleeves and go and check title deeds, town planning schemes, and all those type of criteria, just to make sure that one is getting what one perceives when one sees the actual property.
Yes, you sounded very queen-like there. But in the finance... in the financing specifically of an industrial property, what's the process, and typically how long will the mortgage loan agreement be for? What sort of interest would you attract? And no doubt you'll be more successful in securing funding if you can show the funder that you'll have a regular operational income coming from the property.
Yes. I mean, firstly, I must state that securing industrial or commercial financing is a lot more of a tedious process than anything on the residential side. So one's got to expect a very, very tedious process by all banks. Banks are very, very meticulous, and they're going to ask for, on the property side, they're going to ask for an extensive amount of information. On one's personal side, they're going to ask for an extensive amount of information. And on a legal structure point of view, they're going to ask for an extensive amount of information. And while this is initially perceived to be a little bit of a problem by people that are that haven't gone through this process, in fact, the banks are actually just double-checking your own purchase. So one can turn a negative into a positive here, and that if the bank is happy with your purchase, it's probably a good purchase.
Indeed.
But certainly, yes, the banks normally look at various things, as I say. Firstly, the property. They are going to look at every aspect of the property. You know, rental agreements, title deeds, town planning conditions, various expenses, double-check expense ratios, and all those things. They're also going to check on the shareholders, if I can call it that.
Yes.
Who are the shareholders? And are they people of means? What level of finance do they want? And all those aspects. And then, very importantly for commercial transactions is, in fact, the legal structure of the transaction. What type of legal structure does one have? What is the purchase agreement all about? And how much finance does one actually want?
Hmm.
And with commercial industrial property, you probably, on a once-off transaction, a bank is not going to give you much more than 60% finance on a property, unless they're extenuating circumstances in the borrower's regard.
That was Tony Bales. He's the CEO of Epping Property.